Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 16. We spent a lot of time in chapter 15. Paul dealt with a great, great subject. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and how it affects you and me. And we saw how important it is. It's part of the gospel message, right? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's an essential part of the gospel. It's supernatural. That's because biblical Christianity is supernatural. It's the revelation of the truth of God, redemptive truth of God to man. And so we worked our way through chapter 15, looking at various facets of the resurrection body, and then looking at the wonderful truth of the rapture of the church. That's in this group that we have here. We may not have to experience death and resurrection to get that eternal body. The Lord may come in our lifetime before Labor Day, before 2 weeks from today, and we might receive that new body directly, immediately, as we are changed into that body by God's grace. Wonderful truth. And Paul concludes it, of course, in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we all say,
Amen.
Amen. Now Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Spirit, now concerning the collection of the saints. You got it? How can we go from that resurrection to this, pass the plate? And you avoid that. You've got those treasury boxes back there. You don't want to be reminded of it every week, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. You don't want to see what other people are giving. Or you don't want to be embarrassed when it comes in front of you and you don't have anything to put in it, right? Well, so as you can see in your outline, we're going to look at the subject of biblical giving. There are a lot of passages in God's Word that deal with giving. Our Lord Himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. God is love, and God so loved the world that He gave. Giving is an expression of love. And Paul here is actually talking not so much about giving money Sunday by Sunday to take care of the expenses of the local church, including the pastor and the lights and the water and garbage pickup and all that type of thing. He's really talking about a special collection that Paul was gathering from various churches to take down to the poor Christians, the poor Jewish Christians in the city of Jerusalem. And during this journey, this third journey, he is gathering this money. And so he has given instruction to them about this collection. But as we look at this special collection that Paul is gathering, he gives to us, though, some ideas and some principles that we need to put into our own hearts, into our own minds, and into our own giving patterns as we give to the Lord. So let's try to go through what we have here in these four verses. Let me just read them for you, and then we'll come on back to verse 1. Paul said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia." Now, we have the book of Galatians. The region of Galatia is in that section of the world, and in that country which we today call Turkey. Right, Turkey. And Paul and Barnabas, on their very first missionary journey, went into that region of Galatia. It was basically south central Turkey. So Paul had given orders, you can see, to the churches of Galatia. So you must do also. You'll find out that he also gave instructions to the churches of northern Greece. That region was called Macedonia. And he also gave instructions to the churches in southern Greece that included Athens and Corinth. So he says, now, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Four verses. All right, what are some of the principles that I've tried to glean from here? First of all, biblical giving bonds us to other believers. Now concerning the collection for the saints. By the way, here's another evidence that a person does not become a saint until he's canonized by the Church of Rome, by the Pope, after death, if there have been some miracles performed by that person and there's been evidence of it. This is a collection for living people. And as we saw in chapter 1 of this book, verse 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. You and I are saints. All brothers and sisters in Christ are saints, equally set apart from the world, the dominion of the world and Satan, unto God. And we are under the eternal rule of God. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And God has set us apart from the world unto himself. This includes Gentile believers and Jewish believers. We are bonded together. And we could extend that to white and black and brown and yellow. We're all one in Christ. We have a co-equal position in the Savior. It bonds us together. I want to take you here to Romans chapter 15. Just back up one book to Romans. And look at chapter 15 of Romans. And I want to read for you verses 24 as he talks about this collection. He says, whenever I journey to Spain, now Paul wrote Romans also during his third missionary journey, just like he did 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. He says to the church at Rome, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. Paul planned to go to Rome, stay there for a while, and then be supported by the church at Rome as he went on to Spain. We're not too sure that he ever made that because of his imprisonments that he endured. He says, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. And one way was in this collection. He says, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia, Macedonia, northern Greece, Achaia is southern Greece, to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their spiritual things. There refers to Jewish spiritual things. And folks, you and I have come into the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant, a covenant that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that established the nation of Israel. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. And when God the Son became human, he became a Jewish human, right? A Jew of the tribe of Judah. And our Savior, in his humanity, was Jewish. We believers are indebted to them. How in the world can we be anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish? And yet, you have a lot of that going across Christendom today, sad to say. He said, if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. The duty of Gentile believers to minister to these Jewish believers in Jerusalem. Therefore, he says, when I have performed this, that is the trip to Jerusalem with the collection, and have sealed to them this fruit, giving is a fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain, and so on. It's a wonderful thing. Throughout Scripture, you find, especially in the book of Acts and then in Paul's writings, you'll find where whenever they had meetings, when Paul met with Jewish elders in Jerusalem, they said, Paul, we recognize that God has called you to a special ministry to the Gentile world. And Paul did. He evangelized the Gentile world. He went into the pagan cities and ministered. But he always ministered to Jewish people. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the gospel. Until salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. He went to the synagogue, did he not? And so Jewish believers and Gentile believers were in those little towns. At first, probably more Jewish believers than Gentile believers, but later on, it became more Gentile believers than Jewish believers. And they said, as you go, we're not going to put restrictions on these Gentile believers. They don't have to be circumcised. If they want to eat shrimp, that's okay. Right. But please remember the poor. That's always been an extension of our gospel, of our bonding with other believers. We are to give to those that have been affected. And of course, if you think about what happened in Jerusalem, you read about it in the book of Acts, you can find out some reasons why these saints in Jerusalem were in need. Can any of you recall any things that happened there? Right, there was a famine, right. There was it was predicted by a prophet there would be a famine, right. There was a famine.
Persecution,
exactly. If you remember early in the church, some people were selling what they had, and then it was put into a common pool to serve. Well, once you sell what you have, you no longer have that what you have anymore to get any income, etc. And so there are a multitude of reasons why they were hurting. And so you have this bonding. And folks, we ought to bond with people who are in need. We are to bear one another's burdens. And sometimes those burdens are financial. And I'm sure you know very well that God's people have been very, very generous. And so has a nation of called the United States of America, too. Yes. This world owes a great debt to the United States of America when you stop and think about it in this day. We came to the rescue of Europe in World War I. We came to the rescue of the world in World War II. We rebuilt Europe through the Marshall Plan. Whenever there are tsunamis and so on, that we flood those areas with medical ships and goods and all of that. America has been a very generous nation. And I'm glad to be part of it, aren't you? Amen. So it bonds us to other believers. A second thing is, it's part of worship. Notice what it says in verse 2. It says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. The first day of the week. Why do we gather on the first day of the week for the worship of our God and our Savior? Right. It was always, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day is Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week. And therefore we differ from people like the Seventh-day Adventists. God has replaced that day that remembers the first creation. God created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh. We remember the second creation, the creation of the church through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So it's a time when we come together. It's a time of worship. And giving is called a sacrifice to the Lord. Let me take you to Philippians chapter 4. Now, I know we've done a study in here, but we all forget passages. But remember in Philippians chapter 4, by the way, Dr. David Jeremiah is right now going through Philippians. He's got this new series out on joy again. And we get to watch him on television at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sundays, and so we enjoy hearing him. And whenever we can, we also try to watch Charles Stanley along the way. But anyway, in Philippians chapter 4, look what Paul said. He says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, Philippians 4:12. I've learned how to be full, I've learned how to be hungry, I've learned how to abound, I've learned how to suffer need, verse 14. You have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Remember, Paul talked about the idea of fruit. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was the messenger from Philippi. The things sent from you, and now he calls them a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Giving is an expression of worship. And so, a lot of times we try to divide our services up, you know. Prelude, announcements, pass the plate, but you don't have it here. But you know what I mean. And then the message. Listen, it should all be involved in the worship of God. And giving especially, it's an expression of giving to Him. And when we give to Him, we give to His family and to His purpose and to His mission to support God's work and missionaries, the needs of others. It is part of our worship. Let's go on. Notice it's personal. It says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, each one of you. It's personal. Let me take you on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I gave Rogers an outline. When we get done with 1 Corinthians, we'll probably have, after this next week, we're off. We'll take 2 more weeks to finish up 1 Corinthians 16. Then we're going to go right into 2 Corinthians. And so I think I was the 22nd or something like that. We'll be in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. And so we'll be seeing some of these things again. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and many of you know this, that in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you have two wonderful chapters on the subject of giving and they pertain to this collection. And I want to just read them. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Wow. And while we're in this passage, notice what it says in verse 5. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. That's what our giving should be. First to the Lord and then to the Lord's people and to the Lord's work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's go on. It should be planned, point D there. He said, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Paul wanted to have this collection Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, so that when Paul arrived in Corinth from the city of Ephesus, Paul was over in Ephesus, the other side of the Aegean Sea, so that when he came, the money would be in hand. So that then he would just have a brief stay there and then go with that gift along with others to the city of Jerusalem. So there should be some planning in your giving. And then notice it should be proportionate. He says, storing up as he may prosper. Now, folks, there are different degrees of prosperity, right? I learned a tough lesson in this area. When Gloria and I were first married, she had a full-time job, and I worked part-time. And as a young married couple, even way back in 1954 through 58, that wasn't too bad. We got along quite nicely. In 58, I'm in my second year at Dallas Seminary, and little Gary came. Gloria stopped working full-time. Now it was up to Bob. And Bob got laid off. You don't know how low we were. We lived in an attic apartment. Could not even afford the pay, the rent for that. We went out to the George Loving place, I believe it was. Loving is correct. Brand new government housing project across the Trinity River. It's about 7 or 8 miles away from the seminary. We weren't the only ones out there. We had a bunch of people out there. We had aspiring preachers, people going to medical school at Southern Methodist University, and others. Some outstanding people that were out there. But anyway, it was the poor man's housing project. And we almost had a hard time getting into it because you had to have some income to get into it, and I had no income. Finally got a job part-time. Well, to make it short, I believe we ought to give the Lord his share. So if you made $30 a week for a part-time job, the Lord ought to get $3. At the end of the week, I didn't have $3, so I kept a little ledger. Gave a dollar, I owed the Lord $2. That kept adding up after a while. I said, something's wrong here. The Bible says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your substance, not the last fruits, right? So I started doing the first fruit. Things changed. So that's been our thing. We honor the Lord first with our giving. And I've always, in our system, we do it from the top, not up. We don't wait until Uncle Sam takes out his share, or the governor of the state, or the city. It's at the top. You can differ, but anyway, that's what we want. We wanted to do that. But anyway, that was our plan, and God's prospered the Grimackis, I think, through that. But as each one has prospered, each one according to ability. I love this verse. I want to take you back to a couple of passages. I'm going to take you to the Old Testament. Come on back to Deuteronomy. And look at chapter 8. And look at verses 17 and 18. Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18. God is telling the nation Israel that when you go in the land and prosper and receive all the land flowing with milk and honey, don't say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Right? It is he who gives you power. So if you have ability in science, if you have ability in medicine, if you have ability as an engineer, if you have ability as a teacher, if you have ability as a carpenter, whatever your ability, it is God who gives you the ability to make money, to get wealth, to give it. Amen? Another passage, 1 Chronicles 29:14. Let me take you to that one. I mark these verses in my Bible so that as I read through the Bible year by year, reminders of that. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. David is blessing the Lord. And he says in verse 14, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. I got a few bucks in here. It's really the Lord's. I'm a steward. All that we have is a gift from our gracious God, and we are stewards of it on how we use it in giving and sharing, blessing our family, our friends, the local church, and so on. Final point. He says, and when I come, back here at 1 Corinthians 16, when I come, whomsoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Paul did not want to handle the money himself. Paul wanted the churches to send somebody along with the money that they gave so that when Paul said, when they go to Jerusalem, I may go with them, but I'm not going to handle the money. It should be administered with integrity. And I think you know very well that in biblical Christianity, a lot of greed can be found in people who have control of ministries. And God's people are so gullible, they keep on sending money to these people. And so they are flying around in their private jets, living in these million-dollar mansions. It's a sad thing. It really is. And I think it's sad because I think there is a thing called EFCA. I think it's Evangelical Financial Council of Accountability, something like that. It's sad we have to have that. You think, well, God's people, evangelicals especially, would have a proper auditing of the books. And the money would go for the reasons it was given, but you know very well people have exploited it. It's a sad, sad thing. And pastor's been involved in that as well. It's got to be done with integrity, folks. I know in the time that I have served churches, I've been involved in maybe 10 churches as an interim, but I was also involved in that startup work for 12 years, 13 years down at Washington Courthouse where I was the pastor. I did not want to know one dime that anybody in that church gave. I mean, I wanted to know what the offering was and how we're going to use that offering, but I did not want to know that Mr. X gave $1,000 this week and Miss Y gave $10 or anything like that. I did not want to know. Lest somehow by knowing that, it would affect the way I preach or relate to that person. It has to be done with integrity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Giving is a spiritual exercise for God's people. Eh? And may we give properly unto the Lord. It's wonderful to be able to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I think as we get older, we find that to be the case, isn't it? We like to give. Like to give. Let's pray. We have some people with special needs. Mrs. Pratt, I know, has a special need with her neck. Dick here has had a little problem with a little AFib. He's got some adult shingles. John has an appointment coming up this week about with his heart. We ought to remember John and Sandy Entner as they go through this time, because I think facing reality, there may be a short time before John goes to see the Lord. Amen. Our Father, our God, we pray for these dear people. Minister to their needs. Give us occasions to help them, to pray for them, we pray. Help us to be generous people, Father. We realize that we should not love money, but we should use it and not abuse it to be a blessing to you and to your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.